So for the two or three of you Apple snobs, if you go to iTunes and search for Radio Citrus, you'll find us. And for the rest of us commoners, if you go download the Podcast Addict app, or really any podcast app, search Radio Citrus, guess what? You'll find us! Darth Vader's sick of Pandora. He's been listening to it all day long, and now he's out of skips.
Don't make me destroy you.
I should have been listening to Radio Citrus.
Welcome.
This
Lord of the Manor
is the house.
Hello, hello.
YTMND built.
Hello.
See, there you go.
Now, anything.
Now, wait a minute. Don't get excited.
B-I-U-S.
That's no good.
Remember that?
I certainly do. I love how people will take, like, especially with YTMND before we got all fancy on the internet, when it was all pretty rough. But, like,
Abuse was still a thing.
That's no good.
Sonic says, if somebody touches you, that's no good.
But then they bastardized it, and they were like, helping old ladies, that's no good. and they would just do like a montage of like things that are good things. And just be like, that is no good. Be like, Sonic, you silly. The old days.
If you're one of the people who got to enjoy YTMND when you were like 13, that must have been golden, because I didn't discover it until I was in my 20s. And by then, I just had, my inner 13-year-old.
It satisfied that itch.
Oh, so you know the old rule of thumb with radio? You do like, 3 hours of prep for 1 hour of radio.
I think that's inefficient, but yeah, I mean, that's the
reality. If you do it right.
I think you should definitely, your prep should be as small as possible, equal or less than your actual broadcast time in a perfect world.
If you're a serious guy who's actually making serious money, like Rush Limbaugh, as soon as he's off the air, he's like planning the next show. He probably puts 8 hours in, But
and taking painkillers, but that's a different story.
Well, that's all because nobody wants to talk to me. I live in a big house in Florida, and I annoy all my neighbors. But anyway.
Illuminati. What?
No, that's Glenn Beck.
That's George Soros. Anyway. Sorry, we have no political leanings.
I've done no prep.
No. You know what?
I stopped and bought jelly beans.
You know, that's good prep.
The cocaine of Radio Citrus, but...
We can claim to be completely original in the zone of winning.
Is there anybody you can get only citrus flavored jelly beans?
No.
Audio content.
And the podcast has been deleted. Somebody should stop listening right there. So, you know how in math they tell you, yes, you could use your calculator, but we're not going to let you because you need to learn how to hand crank it, do it the real way.
Okay. I call BS on that.
Well,
but
computers use algorithms and different processes that are different than the way we with a human brain, we approach math. So all through math, I kept taking these courses. All right, I get it. I need to learn how it was done the old-fashioned way. So in my idiotic arrogance, I thought I can take a linear algebra course in an accelerated summer semester.
Okay, that's like shooting yourself in the foot twice, I feel like.
And when I phrase that in past tense, because I'm not taking it anymore, it's very predictable that a person like me with my kind of math acumen would bail out of a linear algebra course. No, that's not the crime today. The crime is that for the first time ever, this argument that you can't use your calculator makes no sense when the premise of the entire course is to learn how a calculator works. So it's linear algebra, as explained to me in this horrible 2 or 3 hour crash course, the first period, is instead of doing math through algebra, the regular one we learned in junior high and high school, you stack everything in a matrix in a box and then just start monkeying with the box like you're a computer. And so you basically turn your brain and your math homework into a computer, but you calculate it all by hand.
Less people know how things work and how to make things. We just know how to make things work.
Well, that's happening with everything. I mean, how many of us know how to sew our own clothes anymore? How many people work in a textile factory know how to make their own clothes, because they just have such a small part of it. But with math, they've done the opposite. They've said, we don't want to lose this lost art of doing the math by hand. So we're going to punish you for 27 years of your life or whatever, going through all this stuff by hand.
Depending on how your math career goes.
And it makes some sense up to a certain point. There's nothing more embarrassing than the lady whipping out her phone at the grocery store and she sees a can of tuna for $1.39 and she goes, 1.39 times 10. Lady!
But sure, I will accept that.
But where it crosses a line is when you take a class where you learn to think like a computer. Because I hate to break it to you, but I don't, you know, I don't have wheels. I don't make a very good car. I've got human legs.
Yet.
I'm good at walking.
You don't make a very good car. I don't know. Yet.
But in the same way, I don't have a computer for a brain. I have a human brain. And human brains are really bad at computer things. It's stupid, and I decided I'd rather do Radio Citrus this summer. Screw a master's degree. So here I am. All
right. I'm not sure if you made the right choice, but no, I can tell you like the choice. I absolutely agree that we need to learn it to a point. I'm fine with that. Also, I don't think there's anything wrong with figuring out how something works once or twice. Think about it. So they say like, oh, okay, well, if you want to really know how to do it, that means you have to like start from the bottom every single time. Okay. That is, to me, in my brain, that's the same as like, dude, you can't go upstairs. If you want to go up some stairs, you have to build stairs. You can't just go up. You can't just build stairs once. Every time you have to go upstairs, you have to build a new set of stairs. And to that I say, screw you. I got more important things to do with my day.
Because it's by a math major and they want to feel like their education was worth something. Because darn it, they had to do those classes too. And hey, it's okay. When the Glenn Beck style apocalypse comes, you'll be able to.
When George Soros turns into the Antichrist.
That's right. When George Soros leads the Russians in to start a new era of liberal. Let's see. What are the scary buzzwords? Liberal socialist. Here's the funny thing, though. Because I would say liberal socialist gay marriage world, but the Russians are against. It's like people say, you Nazi commie.
And I was just like, wait, but they were fash. What?
Hey, so when the Nazi commies come in and smash all our calculators, you'll know how to do trig functions just using your own head. So at the time of taping this podcast, we're talking about Baltimore on fire. And the problem with that is people need to live there, and when you set it on fire, then they have no place to
go. Makes it hard to live there.
Yeah. So, no, it's really nice to see. There was, of course, the very tired, I think Anderson Cooper and everybody booked it, but it was the lady who saw her son.
Oh, she started smacking the crap out of her son. I know. On the one hand, I'm just like, seriously? But at the same time, she parented with aggression and passion, and... Yeah.
Maybe that's the only way to get through to him, you know?
And look, that kid, he's a broken kid. He's going to have the roughest time for the next couple of years.
Well, it depends. If he can break loose, get a job, and
right,
then he'll be okay. But the other is looking at the actual arrest of this gentleman who was Freddie Gray, who was killed in the back of that, paddy wagon type thing, or was it just a regular police car?
Man, I don't know.
My ignorance is showing here. They ruled it a homicide.
Which is interesting. As this has been sort of, it seems like every 3 months something like this comes up. Every single time, like, there's no charges. Now, some of them, you know, you can argue one way or another, but like, this was like 1 week later. They're like, bam, we got charges. Finally found a DA that will own up to being a DA.
Well, and that's a big deal because the DA, what helps her keep her job is conviction rates. And the only way you can convict is if the officer shows up to testify. And if you're anti-officer, you may find officers who just keep like sleeping in and forgetting to show up at court, you know, other smaller stuff. I mean, obviously the cops want to see the big cases, the big dirtbags go away, but on your minor stuff,
the day to day.
Yeah, you know, your misdemeanor spray painting charge or whatever. Oh, yeah, I forgot to show up. My bad, me and the whole precinct, you know. So in this case, what are the specific charges here? What did they get nailed with?
In the untimely death of Mr. Gray, my team worked around the clock, 12 and 14 hour days, to canvass and interview dozens of witnesses.
Which, by the way, she's only been a prosecutor, I think, for 3 months.
Yep, she's brand spanking new.
Police videotaped statements, surveyed the route reviewed voluminous medical records, and we leveraged the information made available to us by the police department, the community, and the family of Mr. Gray. The findings of our comprehensive, thorough, and independent investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges.
Now they're pretty excited about that.
Oh, all right. I mean, it's a little dark, but okay.
Well, it's just still so bonkers that somebody could be in the back of a police van or whatever and die without it being of a serious...
Right.
You know, like it drove into the river or something.
Or like having some pre-existing condition before.
Yeah, or had a heart attack. That happens. So there's a guy had a heart attack while they're tasing him, you know.
Yeah. But
in this case, it's just like, well, nobody was expecting that.
Some a little weird.
Maybe not murder, but some kind of charge, because you just can't have a guy, no matter how big of a dirtbag he may have been, die in the back of a cop car and not charge somebody with something. Right?
And here's the thing. It's okay to charge someone. The conviction is where things need to be very precise.
I urge you to channel the energy peacefully as we prosecute.
How much of that is the neighborhood just being a bunch of jerks versus the police actually having a legit problem? I mean, without living there, I guess I wouldn't know.
Well,
I know it can happen.
I have a buddy. He's from Virginia, pretty close to good old Baltimore. Anytime he talks about Baltimore, he always punctuates whatever he has to say with bring a gun. So like, oh, you're going to Baltimore? Oh, hey, you should go check out this place. Oh, and bring a gun. So if you want to hear, Baltimore's pretty rough.
Yeah, see, I'm a West Coast guy. There isn't a city on the West Coast where I'd feel like, oh, yeah, I need to bring a gun. Even Oakland, you know, if people start rioting, just join in. Then you're
just
fine.
You know, hang out. It's like hanging out, just very illegal. But
yes, fur is murder. Eat vegan. Yeah. Now I'm going to get my car and get out of here before I get shot.
No, you're going to get in your electric car and very economically return back to your parents' condo.
Yes.
To the rank and file officers of the Baltimore City Police Department, please know that these accusations of these six officers are not an indictment on the entire force. I come from 5 generations of law enforcement. My father was an officer. My mother was an officer.
And the beatings they used to do, man.
Back in the day.
Back in the 1970s, you could just pull some punk over and start tearing his car apart.
Oh, man.
Actually, that was...
What a time.
I met a retired Portland Police Bureau officer. He claims... Now, you know how retired officers are. He might be spinning some yarn.
Fishing stories?
Yeah, he claims that people used to cruise Southeast 82nd Avenue. What they used to do in the old days is they'd pull them over and say, oh, we think there's drugs in your car, and then just start dismantling the car.
Just take it all apart.
Dump it all out on the sidewalk, go, oh, no drugs. Well, have a good day, and then take it
off. No, that's terrible.
I'd have to pick a stereo off and, you know,
I would have thrown up on him.
Yeah, well, you know, back then they could just beat you. There's no cameras, you know.
Charges, there's 6 officers, and they all have slightly different. One guy has 3, one guy has 6, one guy has 5, the other guy has 5, other guy has 3. I don't want to read all of them, but I can read the one that really matters. Anyways, isn't editing fun? You should leave that part in. The cool one is second degree depraved heart murder.
Depraved heart murder.
Depraved heart murder. Okay, then there's manslaughter, involuntary. Second degree assault, manslaughter by vehicular criminal negligence or vehicle criminal negligence. And then misconduct in office, which I like. What is that? Just like,
okay,
inappropriate.
So it sounds to me like somebody was negligent in the way they tied him up.
Sure.
Somebody was negligent in the way they drove. Somebody was negligent in... probably trying to cover some things up in the office. And somebody knew he was back there probably bleeding to death and dying and did nothing about it. And that's depraved heart murder. I've never heard of that in my life.
It's something kind of unique, but long and short of it, it pretty much means someone's probably about to die and you're just kind of letting it happen and or helping in some way, shape, or form. But guess how many years you can get for that?
15?
Nope. 30. You can get 30 years for that.
Whoa!
Not bad, right?
That's worse than some first degree cases.
I know. First degree, you get 25.
So if I go out and I shoot that fellow because he was asking for it.
Kill him. Kill him now.
I may end up with fewer years because that would be crime of passion or whatever.
Yeah.
Than if I was like, now watch that SOB bleed to death. Because like, it was own fault.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Okay.
That's really all I got. Interesting.
Let's take a break, come back, and let's look into what depraved heart murder is.
You murder my heart.
Heart murder.
All right. This is Radio Citrus at Q959 FM, 323-920-9590.
Hello there.
The house that YTMND built.
Oh, no, it's you.
Radio Citrus.
Where's dinner?
Well, I thought you'd be home a couple of hours ago, and everything away.
What is this? Pizza?
You had just called me. I would have known what...
Dinner ready is pizza.
Honey, please don't be so loud. Please don't... Let go of me!
Get in the kitchen!
No!
You want to see what hurts? That's what hurts!
Domino's Pizza. Nobody delivers better.
Hello, Radio Citrus.
Now, still to come on the show, we're going to talk about Elon Musk's new fancy battery and whether it's just another super fancy thing that I'll never have in my garage. Show rolls on at 323-920-9590. Hi, who's this?
I'm going to read for you the lyrics for the best song ever made.
Oh, cool. All right. Swedish House Mafia?
It's titled Informer.
Okay.
By Snow.
Okay.
Informer. You know, say, daddy, me snow, me I'll go blame. A licky boom boom down.
Okay, hold on. Let's check this out and see if this pans out here. Whoa. I'm not hearing the licky, licky boom boom part. Oh, baby, I know what we need to do. Wait. Yeah, no. Hold on here. Play with this here with Sony Vegas here. I think we can make a little fun out of this here. Yeah, that's the real track, huh? I don't know if it's the best song ever made, but it's still pretty darn good here. Let's try it out.
Informer. I'll go blind. A licky boom boom down. Tuck them on, the daddy be snow. He stabbed someone down the lane.
Yeah!
A licky boom boom down. Horror.
I'm missing a part here.
A licky boom boom down. Police then come, and now they blow down Edor. A licky boom boom down.
That's working pretty
one
good.
One name call.
Oh, wait, hold on. That's not working.
So they put me in the back of the car.
Hold on, hold on. You're out of sync, man. You gotta get synced back up with the guy here.
When the destination reached, it was the
hold on!
Where them whipped down me pants.
Whoa!
So.
Yeah, I don't think this is gonna work now.
They are. They think they have more power.
Yeah, no, it's.
They're on the phone.
Cops abuse power sometimes. They get charged with bleeding heart murder or whatever it's called.
Whoa!
Stop!
Lover who
always. No, stop. No. That's enough. I think we get the idea. Snow, Informer. It's a pretty good little jam, but we got to get back in sync with the thing here.
And the one daddy snow.
No. We're done. No more.
Tornado.
No, I said no more. We're done.
Listen.
No,
me,
you listen. We're done. That's right. No more. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Daddy, all right.
No. We are the article.
No! No!
Be out of the band.
No.
The house that YTMND built.
Now I'm free to see the world.
Radio Citrus.
Has this ever happened to you? You're hammered on a Saturday night, driving home from the club with a taxi. Young lady in the front seat and two in the back. And you pull over and stop in your car.
Sir, have you been drinking this evening?
Wait! Before you get home and chill, let the drunk jack drive you home with no hassle. Hi, Billy Mays here for the drunk jack, the most convenient hands-free device for any impaired driving guaranteed. If you're drunk enough to drive, you're drunk enough to jack it, watch this. Plug it into any phone and you're ready to go. The drunk jack transmits Billy Mays through the speakers in your car. Instead of hearing music, you hear Billy Mays, who will help you drive home.
Turn right. Your mother, right?
That's the sound of safety. Drinking and driving is safe and way more fun for your entire family. But in some states, it's illegal. But in my car, I say it's legal because I use the drunk jack and it works. Hi, it's Billy.
Hey, Billy, it's Carla. Are you okay?
It's legal.
Okay.
So maybe you had a drink or two. Just jack it. Maybe you had 19.
Hey, we all make mistakes.
Call now. We can help.
Radio Citrus on Q95.9 FM.
Let me show you how it's done.
Well, it's possible that your dog became self-aware and made modifications on the cognition amplifier, then turned on Jerry, Beth, and Summer after learning about humanity's cruel subjugation of his species. But your guess is as good as mine, Morty.
All I remember are the dreams in the bed.
Out to Freddie Gray. Too soon?
You know, maybe, I don't know.
It's yeah, it's
good and dark.
The band Heart. A depraved heart, a depraved joke.
Depraved people? Yeah.
Depraved yeah. Heart murder, which now I pulled the... Wikipedia article up on that to see what that's about. Depraved indifference, basically, where human life and where such act results in death, where you just don't care. At least one of the officers involved with the death of Freddie Gray, which led to riots in Baltimore, and now they're being charged. He's being charged with depraved murder, depraved heart murder, which could get him 30 years. And to help us figure out what depraved heart murder is, I went to YouTube. And I found a television show called Praise the Lord on the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
If you're polishing your car and you see a kid drowning in a swimming pool, I'm too busy doing this, you'll be prosecuted. Depraved indifference. Mm. And sadly, much of the church is guilty of depraved indifference. They're saying, we'll go to hell.
The church. It's
getting off topic here a little bit. Okay. Let's move on to something depraved. How's that?
Okay.
Airplanes that crash.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how I feel about this.
So,
do it.
19 years ago this month, there was the ValueJet crash. It was a product of deregulation. Most of deregulation worked out actually pretty well for the airline industry. But ValueJet, they had some problems, and their airplane got on fire. And I thought it was worth going back to listen to the... air traffic control recording, because oftentimes when you hear these type of stories, whether it's a Freddie Gray story or a plane crash, we tend to digest it from a very top level, almost like movie plot type approach to it. We go, oh, that's sad. And also when the dog dies at the end of the movie, that's sad.
Always sad. More sad than when people die.
But when... we take, at the end of the day, there was a real air traffic controller who had to talk to this pilot who he'd probably talked to before, and then this pilot's now dead along with his passengers because of a problem that may or may not have really been anybody's fault. It just was a maintenance issue. And I want to not necessarily dive into this because it's morbid or
I mean, that
depraved.
Is part of why. Because
well, I think we all have a morbid curiosity toward this sort of thing, but I think part of it is it makes it real.
Critter 592, contact Miami Center on 13245, song. Critter 592, contact Miami Center, 13245.
592, there's a need to return to Miami.
Okay, so all of a sudden you get a pilot saying, we got to turn around right now.
Okay, let's get worried.
Now, my gut instinct as the air traffic controller would be like, what? What? What's going on?
Pardon me,
but a good air, but a good air traffic controller just jumps right back in with directions.
592, Roger, turn left, heading 270, descend and maintain 7,000.
2007-992.
What kind of problem are you having?
Then he checks to see what's going on.
Smoke in the cabin.
Roger.
Smoke in the cabin.
Okay, that's terrible. All right.
2007-992, we need the closest airport available.
Oh, crap. So it's not just, oh, quick, we got to get back to Miami. It's like, we need something right now. Closest available airport.
3592, they're going to be standing by for you. You can plan where you want to when able direct to Dauphin now.
New radar vector.
3592, turn left heading 140.
That's getting kind of crackly there, huh?
3592, when able turn left heading 250 to center maintain 5000.
2000, 7000.
Waco 49. Waco 49.
Waco.
Yeah, Critter 592 is coming back to Miami. He's got an emergency. Eagle 703 wants 12,000 as a final.
960.
Critter 592, keep the turnaround heading 120.
That's not good.
1462, we're best at 2 for 5.
Back at 1462, Roger.
So he's talking with other planes. Not in the main. Get out of the way.
Hey, go away.
This value jet's got to land.
Critter 592, contact Miami approach on Christians. Now you just keep my frequency. Critter 592, you can turn left heading 100 and join the runway 12 localizer at Miami.
They're not getting any response.
Critter 592, descend and maintain 3000. Critter 592, Opa-locka Airport's about 12 o'clock at 15 miles.
See, he's giving him all these directions, but he's not getting any Rogers back. But that's a smart air traffic controller, because what if he has problems where he can't transmit, but he can still hear?
True.
To me,
it's entirely possible. Smoke, electrical failure, yeah.
But if he can still hear the radio, it makes sense to continue to give him directions, even though it's starting to sound like maybe something bad.
Maybe nothing is... No one's there to listen.
And sure enough, that was one of the very prominent crashes of 1996. Everyone on board dead. The hope was maybe, as awful as this sounds, the fire and the smoke made everyone pass out before the plane actually hit the surface elevation and broke apart.
You know, you talked about this like it was going to be super dark, and it's actually not too bad. So I'm kind of excited about the next one.
Well,
yeah, it sucks that people died and stuff.
But I think it's important for us to sometimes listen to this sort of thing just to realize how real our mortality is. And the efforts engineers go to try to build safe planes, mechanics go to try to keep them safe, pilots go to try to fly them safely, and tower people to try to guide them when, you know, hope is nearly lost. 1996 was a bad year because that was in May. And then 2 months later, we had another problem. TWA Flight 800.
New York Southern Tina Bay's Lifeguard 800 Heavy, 8,200 climbing 11,000.
We just saw an explosion out here, 5507.
Yeah, that's not good.
507, I'm sorry, I missed it. You had 18, did you say something else?
So at the very beginning of the clip, that voice you heard was TWA 800. And within seconds, you hear, whoa, we just heard an explosion. That fast. Things are turning around. And now air traffic control is saying, sorry, you missed it. What are you saying?
We just saw an explosion in Miami. There's someone about 16,000 feet or something like that. It just went down to the water.
So, that fast. I mean, if you stop and think about it, you're listening to a podcast right now. What were you doing just a few seconds ago when I said... 2 months later, there was another crash in July. In that short amount of time between when I said that and now, really, frankly, in much less time than that, just so many lives were just gone because of an aviation problem, or if you believe conspiracy theorists, Navy pushing the button at the wrong time and blowing a plane up.
That Navy.
You know.
That Patriot missile.
Whatever the reason. It just goes to show, I mean, air travel is such a bizarre concept. I'm at the beach, Dockweiler State Beach. It's behind Los Angeles International Airport, LAX. And I watch these planes, these 747s, 777s, Airbuses, take off over my head, over the beach. Many of them international flights, Pacific bound. And they take off, and I can see them. Every 60 seconds, these planes full of people, and they take off, and they just disappear into the horizon. And it dawns on me the arrogance humanity has had because of how well we've engineered things to basically say, I mean, if you stop, have you ever stopped to think about this? We have this little tiny lightweight fuselage filled with people and a flammable liquid. We're going to burn this thing. They're burn this air. Yeah, I guess in the jet engine, I don't know if you burn it, but you're going to consume this flammable jet fuel. And we're going to have the audacity to lift this aircraft high above the clouds and send it out over the ocean for 19 hours with no place to land. I don't care if you bought a brand new Toyota Camry and it was perfect. I mean, it just came from the factory. There's nothing wrong with it. The dealer checks it out. You drive it for a few hundred miles. It's good. And then you say, okay, now I'm going to go drive that Camry 19 hours with no place to stop. Like if I stop, I die. I have to, it's the movie Speed. I have to go 50 miles an hour.
Oh gosh, Speed.
Otherwise the Camry explodes if I go below 50.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't, that wouldn't, nope, it wouldn't work.
But we do that with 747s. And I'm realizing, I'm going, you know, I've always wanted to see China, but if that's how I have to get there, I'm not sure I want to do it. I've never done, you know, trans-Pacific air travel or transatlantic air travel for that matter. Every time I've flown, I've been over dirt. And so it's like, well, you know, if the plane has a problem, you can just find this old country farm road and put her down, you know.
Just land on it. But mess up all the cows.
The arrogance we have, and yet we succeed at it. But it's still arrogance to tell Mother Nature,
like, what's that? We have no natural ability to fly. What's that? We can't really survive falls from heights more than, like, you know, 40 feet. Screw you. We're going to go miles into the air.
We're going to fly for 19 hours over no land in an aircraft that's not designed to land on water.
Like, what's that? Jet fuel can melt steel beams? Cool. I'm going to use it to fly places.
Yeah. You know, it's, I mean, the jet fuel hot enough to melt steel beams, it can melt the plane and people. Oh, well,
and me, definitely me.
Well, we're going to give everyone a parachute so they can get out, right? No.
Nope.
No. If it goes down.
Totally within the realm of possibility, but no.
And we have so few problems with it. It just blows my mind. But once in a while we do. And in this case, Flight 800 was one of those examples.
Hi, 9 o'clock position.
An explosion 6 miles out at your 9 o'clock position. Thank you very much, sir. Contact New York Approach 125.7.
Here's where it gets chilling.
800 Center. CWA 800 Center.
It's not responding!
I think that was him.
I think so.
Oh.
Well,
just realized.
Good night. Sleep
Bye.
Dreams. Sweet dreams. That's going to, does that give you chills?
A little bit. But even so, that's, you know.
I mean,
the buzz.
I think that was him.
I think so.
Oh, the air traffic controller. I think so.
He's like, yep. Yep.
Anyway, I don't want to leave it in this dark of a place. Here's FedEx Flight 705 being hijacked.
Sir, emergency. Aircraft with emergency, go ahead. Aircraft with emergency, say again. Aircraft with emergency.
Okay, he's not responding. If I'm an air traffic controller, I'm wetting my pants now.
All right.
Air traffic, emergency, please tell me. How can I help?
Also, there's like zero passion in his like emergency talk. Emergency, just tell me.
Well,
just,
but he's paid. But he's paid to be calm.
Sure, but
I mean, you don't want to. Okay, you don't want to come on and say, "Hey, we're an aircraft with emergency." What? What? Are you okay?
No. Yeah, that doesn't do anyone. Okay, good point. Well said.
Express 705. Stop it, wounded. Attempted to take over on board the airplane. Give me a vector, please.
Attempted to take over the airplane. Isn't that fun?
Yay. What a way to spend an afternoon.
Suicide hijacking for insurance fraud.
Oh.
Stanford grad, too, no less.
Oh.
But he was facing getting fired. You know, he had his time card, and there were some irregularities with it. So I thought, well, I know what I'll do is I'll just die, and then my family will get this like $3 million life insurance policy, and it'll be good. So he went on board with some hammers and sledgehammers, and you know,
some sledgehammers. Was he going to John Henry that dual wield them like I'm working on the railroad?
He's already got more hammers than hands, but that wasn't enough. So then he put a spear gun in a guitar case.
That's enough for this time. Hurry. Express 705 flying 0905, direct Memphis. Give me advice, where is Memphis? Express 705 flying of 090 and to the airport at 43 miles, 12 o'clock. It's in my direction to Memphis.
Okay, so he's saying it's in my direction or nothing, so he can't. I guess they're beat up pretty bad. He doesn't want to really be steering much.
Yeah.
Express 705, you're eastbound at this time, and it'll be about 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Look, just keep talking to me, okay? Okay, we need an ambulance, and we need armed intervention as well.
Armed intervention.
That is the money shot for this whole entire call right here. Okay,
so here's what I imagine. Tell me how close I am. He tried to take over, so everyone was like, nah, screw you, you're not taking over, and they pretty much like, someone got speared. Someone got hit in the foot with a hammer or something, and they managed to like punch him and get him like back in the fuselage. But they're all like in the cockpit, like, "Crap, what do we do?"
They got the guy tied up, but the cockpit was just covered in blood because everybody had, it was a pretty bad fight.
Did anyone get spear gunned?
Thankfully, no. Crew, I love this. Passengers, three crew, one hijacker. Four non-fatal injuries. Four survivors.
Okay, we need an ambulance, and we need armed intervention as well. Alert the airport facility.
Express 705, we have an emergency. He's turning back, direct Memphis. He had an attempted takeover. He is wounded at this time.
He's had an attempted takeover?
He's like, dude, are you serious?
Can you imagine, though, being an air traffic controller or even just an airport employee? It's got to be, I mean, everything's clockwork. If it's not, customers get mad. My flight was delayed 15 minutes. And so maintenance guy, security guy, it's the same thing every day. And so if something gets out of the norm, you almost wonder if it's a practical joke. I mean, you can hear that in this guy's voice.
He's like, no, but seriously, dog?
Yeah, he's just...
an attempted takeover. He is wounded at this time.
He's had an attempted takeover?
The affirmative. He's,
He's so incredulous in his voice, just like, what?
An attempted takeover?
North of Forest City by about 8 miles at this time. He's at 1,000, descending to 10,000.
Okay, red of contact, and you put him on 19-1.
19-1.
Yep. Express 705, heavy Memphis out of here. Express 705, heavy Memphis out of here.
Oh, crap, they must have crashed!
Memphis, can you hear me?
Is this Express 705 Heavy?
705, yes.
705 Heavy, Memphis, roger. I do hear you. You can proceed direct Memphis if able. Expect runway 9er. The altimeter's 3029er.
You understand we're declaring an emergency. We need security to meet the airplane. We'll stop it on the runway or we can.
Express 705 Heavy, affirmative. All that's been taken care of.
323-920-9590. This is Radio 6.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
The house that YTMND built. Radio Citrus.
There's mayhem in the world. Like it or not, it's a part of life. An Allstate agent doesn't announce itself. It doesn't call ahead. Allstate doesn't care if you're on vacation or just remodeled your kitchen or just said, I do. And though mayhem may be a part of life, an Allstate agent doesn't care.
Radio Citrus is on your radio or a smartphone.
It's up at 323-920-9590.
Just give me a moment here to jam. It's been a while. And a decade later, it's the spot. NEDM, We Interrupt This Broadcast remix. So whoever made that huge shout out, I don't know who I'm stealing that from. Is that an ESPN thing? I don't know. 323-920-9590 is what makes this podcast possible. Go to the phone lines. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Radio Citrus, can you play something from Van Halen? I like those guys.
You got it. And of course, radio is never pre-taped, so the song just magically appears right as you request it. Tell me, though, what station makes you a winner? I said, what station makes you a winner? Now, see, I don't think you get how this works. I agree to play the request. You say, thanks, 93.1 The Arrow. Now, try it again. What station makes you a winner?
93.1 The Arrow.
I don't know where that formula came from, by the way. Radio, where you call in, you make a request, they tape it, and then they'll always say, what station always plays your request?
93.1 The Arrow.
Like, I don't know. Because obviously paying the professional announcer to say 93.1 The Arrow, you would never want that. You want the guy on the telephone line being like, hello, 93.1 The Arrow, will you play my request? 75 Van Halen? Okay. 93.1 The Arrow.
This is Radio Citrus, Q959 FM.
I think I might give away a million bucks. I think I might give away a brand.
323-920-9590 is Radio Citrus on Q959 FM. Moving away from plane wrecks, because, yeah, that's a little morbid. But got Reverend O'Grady on the line. Been a long time no see. How you doing, man?
Yeah, hey. Yeah, long time no see. I'm doing good.
So how's the Church of YTMND?
Church of YTMND, it's not been so good. But I
not
swear
a lot
that
of meat,
site is...
Not a lot of meat in the seats.
It's never going to die. That site's going to be around forever.
Yeah. Well.
I predict that, like, in 1,000 years after, you know, humans have destroyed the earth and most of them left it, and there's just rubble here and dust and everything, and, you know, a few websites still up, and YTMND is still going to be there, and people are still going to be uploading crappy GIFs to it with music that doesn't quite sync.
Thus saith Max. YTMND, BSC.
It'll still be Max. Max will have been dead for like 1,000 years. It'll still be jokes about Max and YT, and what is it? Back to the Future and Marv and all of that stuff. I'm calling it right now. So in 1,000 years, if you're listening to this podcast, check YTMND.com and tell me it doesn't still have Marv and Biff jokes on it.
Hey, by the way, shout out to YTMND user ChrisJ787, I guess, for posting a site called YTMND is alive and well, and sure
enough, that's the joke. That's the joke. That's the joke.
There you go. YTMND is alive and well. That's the joke.
What is that? Principal Super Nintendo or whatever?
Principal? No, that's
that sounds
Rainier,
like the Simpsons. Hey, the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly.
Guys that,
Rainier Wolfcastle.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
I was elected to lead, not to read.
It sounds like him.
Hey, speaking of the Golden State, Elon Musk is debuting the Tesla Powerwall.
Yeah, so. I just heard about that and just checked out the video actually a couple hours ago. I don't think he has the best. You should watch the video. I don't think Elon has the best presentation abilities, but it doesn't seem like people really care about that though.
Really? Because he's usually pretty good in his presentation. But
he's kind of like a geek waiting in line for Star Wars. Like, he's really excited. I think he's probably a really nice guy. Like, I pick up this really like friendly human, down to earth kind of personality from him when you watch
him in
his video.
I think he's an arrogant hothead.
Well, he could be. He doesn't come across that way, I think, in the video.
Here we go.
But,
of Tesla Energy. All right.
So
what I'm going to talk about tonight is about a fundamental transformation of how the world works, about how energy is delivered across the Earth. This is how it is today. It's pretty bad.
So, what's he pointing out?
Sucks, exactly.
Oh, he has pictures of power plants.
I just want to be clear, because sometimes some people are like, confused about this. This is real. Okay.
It's talking about like this batteries and how generally batteries we use right now are really expensive. And I think he says expensive three times. But yeah, really expensive and cost too much money and expensive and don't last very long.
Yeah. He's saying this is real smokestack.
Which is true because, I mean, everyone's talking about how, oh, you know, you could just get solar energy. I'm like, yeah, that's great, but the sun doesn't shine when it's night because you need a good battery to hold that charge, and a lot of the batteries are not very good.
Isn't that the idea of Powerwall then is that it can be charged?
Yeah, I think the idea is that he's using the Tesla batteries, which are generally high-quality batteries as in comparison with the current ones you can get. So they're high quality batteries, but you can get them for your house instead of just for using them on a car.
Oh, that's cool. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit. Wow.
I think it's just some music and nothing else happens, but yeah, it's just kind of like a sleek looking battery that you'd mount outside, kind of like probably next to your heater unit or something like that. And,
like out in the utility cabinet of your house, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just out there. And then you could use... I'm assuming that everyone getting that would have to also have solar power, which is the only problem I can see with this.
Nah, just charge it up with wall power. Who cares?
Just get a bicycle in your living room and power that during the day.
He's got a panel of a solar panel here and a...
That are very important about this. The fact that it's wall-mounted is vital. Because it means you don't need to have a battery room. Okay, you don't have to have some room filled with nasty batteries.
Was that a problem before?
Well, I always have nasty batteries in my battery room, so yeah, I guess so.
It means that a normal household can mount this on their garage or on the outside wall of their house.
Okay.
And it doesn't take up any room. It's flat against the wall. It has all of the integrated safety systems.
Looks nice.
The thermal controls.
Yeah, it looks pretty sleek.
The DC to DC converter. It's designed to work very well with solar systems right out of the box. And it's
solar system.
Milky Way?
All the needs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If you're thinking about sort of buying a battery, what does this provide you? Well, it gives you peace of mind. So if there's a cut in the utilities, you're always going to have power, particularly if you're in a place that's very cold. Now you don't have to worry about...
Personally, to me, that seems like the biggest benefit of this kind of system is not being reliant on the power grid. Because what is it? California, we get earthquakes all the time or power outages all the time. And they're really annoying. Like you might lose all the food in your refrigerator if you have it open.
Yeah, but don't you think if your refrigerator is plugged into this battery, you're only going to get like an hour out of it anyway?
Well... Apparently, what they're saying though is it gets 10 kilowatt hours for each one, and that's generally more than most small households use.
I don't know my electrical engineering, so I don't know 10 kilowatt hours. What's that in terms of how many?
I'm not sure what the average is.
Kilowatts does a refrigerator use? 1,400 kilowatts per year. Okay. So, that was in 1986. A modern energy model uses 350. Oh, that's cool. So 350, that's a kilowatt hour a day. So you could theoretically get like a week out of it.
Yeah, so,
that's cool.
Assuming you charged it once and didn't charge it again for a week.
The question is, how long does it take my solar panel to charge that up? A week?
They already have good solar panels for that. So that's not really a problem. The only problem with solar, I guess, right now is it's still kind of expensive.
Yeah,
but they're really high quality, so you would get easily a full charge in a day as long as you get some sort of sunlight from the day.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't think that's a problem.
And that's all you use. So it gives you safety, security, it gives you a complete and affordable solution.
It gives me safety and security.
Yeah, and peace of mind. And no.
Oh, okay. Well, I just thought that was nice because I've been annoyed a few times by power outages and. I use a desktop, so if the power goes out, my desktop shuts off. So
no more games.
Yeah, it's a big pain. Well, usually it's something I'm working. It's always something important if it shuts off. It's not a game or something like that. But so I think that would be nice. But then also the price they're talking about, he was saying it's only going to be around $3,500 for the one he was talking about. And I think
really?
They have a smaller one for $3,000. And I was thinking, like, that's completely affordable.
Yeah, that might actually be. I'll buy one and just put it in my house just for.
Yeah, it's like pay $3,000 and don't pay your electricity bill again.
Yeah,
I mean, it comes with a 10-year warranty, so it's I'm sure they're confident they're going to last a long time. But sweet, I mean, I pay, you know, $30 or maybe $50 a month for electricity, depending on how much I use the air conditioner. So let's see how long that would take. Well, let's see, 3,000.
But the catch is, how expensive is the solar panel that feeds it?
Let's just find this out first. Let's see, $3,500 divided by, let's say, you know, a house will use more, but let's say you're in an apartment. $50 a month, because that's how much I use. Let's see, how long would this take it for me? This would take 70 months or less than 6 years. And a household, so if you're using like $200 a month for your electricity bill, which is probably normal for a household, then you're going to get this paid off in like 2 years. Like, after 2 years, you're making pretty much $50 to $100 every single month that you're saving from not having to pay for electricity bills.
Well, you know, that's the key, is if it can break even. It's kind of math you need to know, so you don't just throw your money, you know.
But you got to add in then, of course, the price of the solar panels, which are general. I think the cheapest one someone was talking about on a Reddit.
Well, it's free if you rip it off somebody else's house.
Well, yeah, you can get free cable too, I guess, if you want. But I think someone was saying it was like $8,000 for like a basic system. For solar panels, like not a big system, which I think costs like $10,000 or $20,000, but like a general one, maybe $8,000. So you take that and you add the price of this, so you're looking at about $11,000. But still, I mean, if you think that you're, if you use $200 a month, that still only takes less than 5 years to pay it off. So it financially, that makes sense pretty much. I mean, as long as you can pay for the initial investment of $10,000, it makes sense pretty much for anyone to do that if they could.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know you could do as cheap as $10,000.
Because solar is the most expensive thing, but I mean, those are, of course, going down every year as more companies start doing that. But I figured, you know, $10,000 to never have to be on the power grid anymore and get all your electricity for free, and then not just that, but get it for free for the rest of your life, pretty much.
Until the solar panel craps out or the battery.
But those usually, I guess, they'd probably come with a warranty too. So,
by the way, here's a YouTube video. Man asks Elon Musk for a job as vice president.
I'll tell you that I'm also a super genius like yourself.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I'm one, but all right.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm just saying, serious. This is to all benefiters, Tesla shareholders in the world. I am a capitalist like yourself. I am also a level two stage. I've been waiting for 10 years now for someone to give me a second look, a full second look. And if they did, they would see a very advanced mind in front of them. So I'm asking you today, can you give me a second look?
I'm cringing.
Okay.
Just listening.
Which way is it going to go? The crowd was laughing. Here we go.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure the second look in what I'm not sure in what we're going.
I would like to come on board as vice chairman of Tesla.
You know what, though? It's worth a shot. What's the worst that's going to happen? He gets a no.
Well, I'll say he has guts to try something like that. Like,
one in a 1 billion chance, but it's a zero chance if he doesn't ask. Of course, that may ruin all.
There's a chance.
But it may ruin. The only problem is the opportunity cost, or whatever the term is. He could have had another job, but now every other employer is going to be like, wait a minute, I know you from YouTube.
Yeah, I think that's going to hurt his chances.
We don't really have a vice chairman spot, but I don't think I have to say no. I'm sorry.
He's not even being diplomatic about it. I don't know what to say.
I can also apply for a future CEO position, but I would, at least I would like to come on the board of directors. I apologize. Is it to the benefit of Tesla shareholders?
I think we need to move on to another question.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like, that could have been, like, say even if Elon Musk
embarrassing
another meeting, it's like, you're not going to get a job from saying that. Like, give him your resume later. Like, you could shake his, like, if you really want to do that, shake his hand backstage, give him your resume, tell him, hey, just look at this, I would like to apply for something. I mean, don't do it in front of the whole audience. This is terrible. You're putting Elon on the spot.
I can't.
Everyone's laughing.
I cannot believe this is real.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, I don't think, I have to say, no, I'm probably sorry.
This makes my weekend. This is fantastic.
To nice way to tell him. It's like, oh, I don't think that's, well, yeah. You know, I think that's, well,
no. Oh, my goodness. I just cannot believe somebody would have the balls to do that. But, all right. Well, all my hats off to Tesla. I mean, I know they've dumped a lot of money. I say these are made in California, but actually, I think the batteries are made in outside of Lake Tahoe or something.
Yeah,
Reno.
They have their gigabit facility, which is going to be working on them.
Yeah, the Gigafactory. But
Gigafactory.
1.21 gigawatts. Gigafactories. 1.21 gigafactories. Well, that's after they expand it by 21%. Yeah, that's ballsy, though, just to say, I want to be your vice chairman, CEO, or a board member. Oh,
I cannot handle those types of cringe videos.
All right. Well, I think that's all the damage you're going to do with the Tesla batteries. 323-920-9590. It's Radio Citrus on Q959 FM. When we come back, the Swedish House Mafia, you know, the don't you worry, child. They, the Swedish army for, I guess Sweden has a king or something, for the king's birthday, they perform it on a big band. You can probably Google that on YouTube and you can find that. What we did is we took the original Swedish House Mafia lyrics and dropped them on top of the band, and it's absolutely terrible. That's coming up next here on Radio Citrus.
Universal has given Earthquake its maximum effort, starting with a story and screenplay written by George Fox and Mario Puzo, author of The Godfather. Universal has enriched this fascinating drama of interwoven lives with a superb cast. Charlton Heston.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Ava Gardner.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
George Kennedy.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Lorne Greene.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Genevieve Bujold.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Richard Roundtree.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Marjo Gortner.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Barry Sullivan.
You're all going to have to help yourselves.
Plus, the city of Los Angeles and its millions of people living, loving, planning, fighting.
Jim. Stuart Graff. She's dying again. Yeah, I think we'll get faster action if you call me.
I have to go to Oregon this summer. All summer on a hydroelectric project. Come up there.
They indicate another pre-shock, probably before noon today.
And if it happens?
You're all going to have to help yourself.
If this damn bus, there won't be nothing between here and Wilshire Boulevard left to burn.
Heroism and cowardice surround and engulf you completely and make you feel you are there.
Hey, you're all going to have to help yourself.
Help me!
Help yourself, help yourself, help yourself.
In 1974, people paid money to go see that in the theater. What's wrong with people?
Don't you worry, child. She has got a plan for you.
Okay, so you recognize this track. Don't you worry. Been burnt to death on the radio over the last couple of years. All right, let's see what happens when we mix it with our big band here.
There was a time I used to look into my father's eyes.
That's fantastically awful. I love it.
Happy home.
This is terrible. Just terrible.
Don't you worry now.
Citrus is the podcast that believes in embracing and abusing remix culture. 323-920-9590. If you ever want to be a part of the show, just leave us a message and you'll be on the next podcast. Copy Wrong 2015. Steal unto others as you'd have them steal unto you. Huge shout out that you made it all the way to the end of the podcast.